Good morning. Stand with me if you will. Stand with me if you won't. And find Matthew 17 if you will. And while you're finding Matthew 17, in 1934, Albert Einstein, who was pretty smart, made a statement. He said, "There is not the slightest indication that nuclear energy will ever be obtainable." And 11 years later, the first atomic bomb was exploded. What is so funny, though, is the Fleet Admiral William Leahy told President Truman, "This is the biggest fool thing we've ever done. The bomb will never go off." And listen to this last phrase. "And I speak as an expert on explosives." It's interesting how experts can be proved wrong. We got anybody here this morning? Anybody in their 20s? Not want to be in their 20s, but you're in your 20s this morning. We got some in their 20s. In 1927, a 21-year-old took and made television. Lee DeForest, the self-proclaimed father of radio, said, "I consider, speaking of television, an impossibility, a development of which we need waste little time dreaming." Vince Lombardi said, "We will accomplish many things if we did not think of them as impossible." Matthew chapter 17, Jesus has been on the top of the mount with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He comes down from the mount. Our story this morning is found in Matthew 17 and in Mark 9, and we'll be using both passages, but we'll read our text out of Matthew 17. Let's read Matthew 17, verse 14. "When they came to the crowd," that's Jesus and the three disciples, "a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water.'" Mark chapter 9, verse 23 gives us our verse of the week. Would you read it aloud with me today? Let's read together. "All things are possible to him who believes." One more time. "All things are possible to him who believes." Before you're seated, would you turn to your neighbor, welcome them, shake a hand, hug a neck. Let somebody know you're glad to see them here today, will you? Man, you look good this morning. Do you feel as good as you look? Turn to your neighbor, will you? And if you can honestly say it, tell them, say, "You look good." And if you can't honestly say it, say, "You have good looks." In your notes, in our story, we see the disciples had puny faith. Now, that may sound like I'm criticizing the disciples, but there are times that my faith is puny, little, ineffective. It's not accomplishing what it needs to. Sometimes doubt creeps in, fears, worries, and I don't really have the faith in God that I need. But if you read both accounts, Matthew's account and Mark's account, you see that Jesus has chastised the disciples for not being able to deliver the young boy, and they wait, Mark says, until they get into a house. They come up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, why couldn't we cast out this demon?" Now, Mark gives us one answer. Matthew gives us another. Let's read them both. Matthew 17. Jesus said, "Because..." That's not what Jesus said. He said, "Because of the littleness of your faith." Mark says these words, "This kind cannot come out by faith, by anything but by prayer." Now, at first, it may appear that Jesus is giving two different answers, but I don't really think he is. I think they work together. See, faith and prayer works together. In fact, it's been said, I think there's truth to it, faith is prayer in action. In fact, if you depend upon God, you will pray, and if you depend upon self, you don't. No answers, so how's your prayer life? Jesus goes on in Matthew, in verse 20, he says, "If you have the size of a mustard seed. Now, mustard seed was the smallest seed that was known to them that they would use in the garden on a regular basis. And yet Jesus has just talked to them about you couldn't do it because you had big faith or little faith. Little faith. So, wait a minute, Jesus, you've got me confused. You said they couldn't cast out the demon because they had little faith, and now you're saying that they have faith the size of a mustard seed. Jesus, aren't both of those little? Well, they're little, but there's a difference to them. The little faith, evidently, the disciples had was based upon themselves and their ability. Matthew chapter 10, some of you remember, Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent the disciples out by two, and he gave them authority. And he said, go heal the sick. He said, heal people, deliver people, set people free. Seven chapters later, they can't do it. And Jesus goes on in Matthew 17 and in Mark 9, and he says, without prayer, these things aren't going to happen. So I propose to you, I ask you this morning, could it be that they had let down in their prayer life? And so their prayer life had dwindled, therefore their faith had waned. See, all of us have faith drains. Everybody say faith drains. The other day, my sink at our home wasn't draining properly, and I've unscrewed the stopper up top and played with it and tried to get it to drain better. It wouldn't drain. And so for whatever reason, and I don't really know the why, but I decided I was going to try to fix this thing. So I get underneath the sink, and for those of you that are plumbers or you're jack of all trades, I will not call it by the right names probably on some of it maybe, but you just go with me, okay? So I get underneath, and there's something back there that you've got to unscrew, and you unscrew it, and the stick comes out, and you can lift the drain plug out. So I've done that, and then I start taking the P-trap off. Now, that... some of you are thinking, he's talking bathroom talk. No, it is a P-trap. That's what it's called. It's a P-trap. So I took the P-trap off, and I looked at that, and there was some junk in there. And then there's this pole coming down, and it's a PVC pipe. So I take it off, and there's junk in that. And then there's this, so you got the straight pole, you got the P thing, and then you got some other curvy thing. So I take it off, too. I take the PVC pipe, and all of them have junk in them. And so being the good husband that I was, I wanted to go to the kitchen sink and wash them out because the kitchen sink's a good place to use it. But being the good husband that I am, I went outside. And I'm still married today. So I went outside and I washed out the junk, and then I came back in and put it back together. And the first time I turned it on, it didn't leak. I am an official plumber this morning. If you need your sinks plunged or you need your sinks called, you just call Elwin Plumber. Here I am. The problem with some of us, though, we've got junk in our P-trap. And the faith is draining out because of the junk. And it's draining slow. And you're wondering why you don't see God. You're wondering why you don't have the answers. You're wondering this and you're wondering that. And it may be that there's junk in your PVC pipe. Some of you this morning need the Holy Spirit to come and take out that P-trap and that pipe and that other thing and wash it out. I don't know what all they're called. I just know once I cleaned it out, my sink hasn't worked this well, I don't think, for years. And God's talking to somebody this morning because you got some junk in your PVC pipe. It's unforgiveness, lack of trust. And so it's caused your faith to become puny. And you've blamed other people instead of looking within. So, Father, I just ask, even as we sit here this morning, Holy Spirit, will you just rotor-rooter our PVC pipe? Hallelujah. Just as you sit there, would you just begin to receive and say, Lord,
by faith, I receive what you want to give me. God, would you just move that junk out? Lord, as I moved that stuff out of my pipes, some of it stunk and some of it was just dirt and it was yucky. Father, some of us sit here this morning with yuck in our lives. God, we make room for you, as that song says. God, we want the Holy Spirit to freely flow in our lives. It wasn't flowing in the nine disciples freely because of something that was hindering. And for some of us this morning, Lord, there are things in our lives, and maybe they're online and they're watching, and there are things that are hindering, that's clogging up the line. Lord, would you move it out? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So in your notes this morning, the action step for point number one is stay firmly connected to the source and allow him just to flow through you and wash you. As the Bible says, make you whiter than snow. Number two this morning, let's look at the father's persistent faith. Dad had persistent faith. Chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 15. We've learned several lessons from Dad. First of all, Dad came to Jesus. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Now, I want to pause there a moment, because the first lesson is we need to be willing to be honest with God and admit our issues. This dad did not come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm bringing him to you because the school didn't teach him right. Dad, Jesus, I'm bringing him to you because the government won't give me the money I want. I'm bringing him to you because we've got the issue in our family. No, he said, my son has a problem. Now, parents, I want to talk to you for just a moment. I know sometimes we don't think our children have problems, and we think our children are just angels. Can I tell you this morning, there are two types of angels, and one of them have horns. Your child is an angel. It's just sometimes they act like a horn on their top of their head. See, there's a rule in our home growing up that if I got spanked at school, that's back in the prehistoric days when they spanked at school. If I got spanked at school, I got double at home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Nowadays, if something goes wrong, we don't spank, but if something goes wrong at school, then it's not Johnny's fault. Sally didn't do that. My little angel wouldn't do that. Can I tell you this morning, stop making excuses for bad behavior. Now, this isn't just for moms. Let's talk, and dads. Let's talk about us. It's not the government fault that where we are in America today. It's the church's fault. The church is the spiritual gatekeeper, and we move the heart and the hand of God. God ordained the government to rule, but he ordained the church to be over that and spiritually to push back the powers of darkness. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. And yet we have thought we can vote somebody in the office and they will lead us to righteousness. No, Jesus is the one who leads us to righteousness. Not a president, not a governor, and not a senator. The responsibility has to come back to the church. The enemy is out to destroy you, your marriage, and your family. And he will do everything he can to discourage and to defeat you. Jesus came down from the mount. The crowd, Mark says, was arguing. And the father came up, Mark chapter 9, teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they couldn't do it. So can you imagine the picture here? Here's this crowd. Mark says they're scribes, so there's some religious people. Here's Jesus, the three that came down from the mount, the nine disciples, and they've got egg on their face because the dad, who has a demon-possessed son, just said they can't do the job. Mark tells us that they wait till they get into the house. Matthew says they waited, and then they asked Jesus, Jesus, why couldn't we do this? See, the father did not stop simply because he got the first no.
And Bethel needs some men and some women, some moms and dads and some teenagers who will not take no for an answer, but they will continue to do what Matthew 7 says. They will continue ask and keep asking. They will continue seek and keep seeking. They will continue knock and keep knocking. And they will bombard heaven until God moves in their family, until God moves in their job, until God moves in their church. We need some men and some women and some teenagers who say, we're going to touch the throne room of God. That's what this daddy did. May God give us some dads and moms and students who will not take no for an answer. So Jesus asked the father, Dad, how long has this been going on? And he responded in Mark chapter 9. He said, from childhood. Some of you this morning have some issues that you're dealing with. It's been a long time. Long time. Everybody say long time. For some of you, it's been years. Others, maybe even decades. You've been praying for so-and-so to be saved for 30 years, and you don't see anything going in the right direction. In fact, it even seems to get worse. So you're just going to give up. No. Turn to your neighbor and say no. You don't give up. You do like this dad, and you take it. You get your first no from somebody else, and you keep coming to Jesus. And you say, Jesus, I don't know what's going on, but I know I'm to continue to pray, even in this long-term issue. You know what? Those long-term issues, those long-term sicknesses, those long-term doubts, those long-term insecurities, it calls you to respond in certain ways. Jesus said, how long has this been bothering your son? He said, from childhood it's been happening. Some of you have some long-term issues in your life. Long-term insecurities, long-term financial issues, long-term health issues. So what do? You just keep seeking God. You keep trusting. You keep praying. You keep doing what you know to do. Pastor, I feel like giving up. I know. I get discouraged sometimes. I get tired. But you just continue pursuing. Listen to what Paul said. Paul says, we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes. See, this boy, if you read the stories, this boy didn't always manifest his possession. He didn't always manifest. Some scholars say he was an epileptic. He didn't always manifest, but he manifested at times. Sometimes our insecurities will show up at the most inopportune time. Somebody will say something. It'll push a button. And we respond. Hurts our feelings, and we want to fight back. Jesus told the Father, he said these words, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. What was his point? I believe, but I've got some fears and some doubts. He was just honest. See, God is looking for people who will just be honest. I don't understand, and I don't like it. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know how this is going to end. But he said, I believe, help my unbelief. I don't know how many of you this is going to bless or touch this morning, but I want to tell you what God did in my life this past week. As I was studying for today, and I'm studying about this story. Now, one of the reasons some of us aren't getting the answers is because we're not being honest with God, whether about our children, our job, or whatever. But sometimes, and I realize I'm the only one in this sanctuary that ever feels this way. I realize that you online, you're spiritual, you don't have this problem. But sometimes when I'm praying, I'm just being honest, I don't believe God's going to do what I'm asking. Sometimes I'll mispronounce a word or a doubt will fly through my mind. I'll go, okay, God's not going to do it. I'm the only one. I'd realize that. Because y'all never have doubts. You never have, y'all are super spiritual. I understand that. You probably have trouble even getting in the bathtub because you get in the bathtub and you just start walking on the water. You don't sink. I understand that. See, that's not my problem. I immediately go to the bottom. I understand. But that's not you because you're spiritual. But I'm not that spiritual. And there are times I pray, Jeremy, and I'm saying the right words, but inside, I know I'm just going through it. Now, I don't stop because it's the same reason I've told you before. My mom made me eat my vegetables when I was a kid. You don't stop just because you don't like it. You go on and do what's right, and God will honor what is right, just like eating my vegetables and just like my prayer life. See, the enemy tells you there's no reason for you to be praying. You might as well stop because you doubt it. You mispronounced it. You said something wrong. A doubt flew through your mind. You might as well stop. See, that's the lie of the enemy. If you pray much, you depend on God much. If you pray little, you depend on self much. It shows you where your dependency is. And so, as I was preparing for today and studying and everything, this past week, God just turned a light on for me. And he said, you know what you've done, Elwin? You have made your prayers self-centered. In other words, it was about, did I do it right? And can I tell you, since several days ago, I have prayed some huge prayers, and I have prayed them wrong, but God is still hearing my prayers. See, I've gotten the focus off of me. Oh, a doubt slid through. Oh, I mispronounced. Oh, I had this. Oh, and I can just say like the daddy, I believe, help my unbelief. You didn't do it right. No, I didn't. But you know what? There's a freedom. Now my prayer is not about Elwin. My prayer is about God. See, my prayers aren't answered because I pray them correctly. My prayers are answered because I serve a good God. Can somebody say amen this morning? So in your notes, the action step is don't allow anything to keep you from Jesus. Keep going toward Jesus. Keep pursuing. Keep going after him. Keep praying. As Matthew 7:7, I already shared with you, ask, keep asking, seek, keep seeking, knock, and keep knocking. It is a continual lifestyle. Point number three. We see that Jesus had powerful faith. And can I tell you, Jesus still has powerful faith. Can somebody say amen? Don't rely on your abilities. Don't rely on your faith. Don't rely on your confidence. Don't rely on you praying just right because you're going to mess up sometimes. How do I have faith? How do I have this powerful faith? I rely on Jesus. I don't get so caught up in everything being just right, me doing this just right, my posture just right, I'm feeling just right, I'm thinking just right, I just pray. Our power does not come through our perfection, it comes through the person of Jesus Christ. We act as if we have to pray right, say right, think right. But Jesus says, no, your emphasis is on yourself, it should be on me. And so as we look at this, we see Jesus saying, Matthew 17:20, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Wait a minute, Jesus. You just told them they had little faith. Now you say if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. And he goes on, he says, you will say to this mountain. You know, sometimes you need to talk to yourself. We all talk to ourselves, but sometimes we need to dial it back and we need to talk to ourselves in a different way. We were up at our son's house a few months ago, and my youngest son sitting on the couch a few feet away from me, my youngest son does this. And I look at him, I don't know what you're doing. What he was telling me, dial it down, Dad, you're too loud. See, some of us this morning, we need to dial down the doubt and the fear and the things that are going on in our life. And we need to turn up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. You will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Dial up the word and dial down the doubts. I was reading my devotions this past week. In Genesis chapter 15, I came across where God was making a covenant with Abraham. And he told Abram, he said, Abram, I want you to go. I want you to take five animals. I want you to cut these animals up or lay them there. And I want you to offer this. And then I'm going to come make a covenant with you. The Bible says, Genesis 15, verse 11, the birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. And I have those last four words underlined in my notes. You see them on the screen. And the reason I have them underlined in my notes is because literally that phrase, Abram drove them away, means caused them to be blown away. In other words, what Abram was doing, he was beside the carcasses, and he was either shooing them away, he was blowing them away, he was wishing, moving, doing whatever, or even talking to them. But one way or another, he was keeping the dead birds from coming, the birds that ate death, to come and eat that which he was sacrificing. Some of you this morning, this is good. Some of you this morning, you need to go, shh, shh, shoo to those doubts. Shoo to that fear. Shoo to those lies. And you begin to speak to your mountain. You begin to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You begin to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You begin to take authority over the lies of the enemy. The Septuagint, the oldest Greek version of the New Old Testament, indicates that Abram sat beside the carcasses. As you are sitting here this morning, I just encourage you in your spirit, you just begin to shoo away. Some of you have accepted some lies. I'll never amount to anything. Shh, get away, get out. You're never going to have that. Father, I thank you that you supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, that I am healed by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that you are more than enough. Lord, I may not have all that I want, but I thank you I have all that I need. I thank you that I have you. And Lord, if I have you, everything's going to be okay. You begin to shoo away the lies of the enemy. Our job's to watch. Our job's to protect. So Jesus, Matthew 17, verse 18, rebuked the demons, and it came out. I shared with you earlier that some people believe that the illness that the boy had was epilepsy, and that he wasn't epileptic. But Jesus did not speak to the disease. He spoke to the demon. I am not saying that every sickness is demonic. My point is very simple. Jesus dealt with the root of the problem instead of the fruit of the problem. The reason that we don't have daily devotions isn't because the Bible's hard to understand, though that's what we tell ourselves. The reason we don't have daily devotions is because we don't believe it really makes a difference. Just be honest with ourselves. Deal with the root. The reason we don't pray isn't because we don't have the time. It's because we don't think prayer really makes a difference. Deal with the fruit, root, not the fruit. The other day, I was walking in our house, and a few months ago, they had rearranged some furniture, and there's a table that's there, and when I walked by it, I caught the end of the table in the back of my leg and caused it, my leg to bleed a little bit. Now, I could have gotten mad at Regina because they moved the table. I could have blamed her because the table's not where it used to be, though it's been there for 2 or 3 months. Some of you are laughing. You're going, that's exactly what I do. Or I could have taken responsibility because I've seen that table. I know that table's there. I've seen that table. And yet, again, I know you don't do this, but I cut the corner. And by cutting the corner, I caught the edge of it, and it scraped me. I wasn't a happy camper. But you know what? I could stand at that table and rebuke the wood out of that demon. And it wouldn't make any difference because it wasn't the table's fault. It was my fault. Stop blaming other people for the mess you've put yourself in. The action step here is to let Jesus fight your battles. Let me finish with the story. It's found in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Judah, which was the northern tribe, the northern nation of Israel, was being attacked by the enemy, and the king didn't know what to do. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, he said these words. He said, "We are powerless before this great multitude. We don't know what to do." See, that's okay to say we don't know. But the key is the last part of this verse. Our eyes are on you. Would you say that with me? Our eyes are upon you. One more time. Our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do. During this building program over the last 30 years as we've been building this sanctuary, that's supposed to be funny. There have been times we haven't known what to do. We haven't understood this. We haven't understood that. We don't know why some things have happened, but our eyes must be on Him. So we keep reading in that story. In fact, one of the translations says it like this. Well, go on verse 15. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to one of men, and the man said this, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. In Bethel, whatever you're going through today, don't be afraid or dismayed because of what you're going through." This is the word from the Lord. It's not mine. This is God's word. "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Today, you need to surrender your battle to Him. Hey, Charles, would you bring me a chair up here, please? Bring me. I got a chair right here. Thank you, Charles. Look how fast Charles is. Y'all didn't even see him move. Man, you're so fast. One translation says it like this. The battle depends on God, not on you. So what we need to do see, I just sat down this chair. I did not look underneath the chair to see what the specifications were. I did not see if this chair was going to hold me. I trusted this chair. And that's what you've got to do on Jesus and with Jesus. And I've put my weight on this chair. If it falls, I'm going to be very embarrassed. But can I promise you this morning? The New Testament says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. How do you do that? You just sit down. You put all your weight, all your cares, all your problems, all your worries, all your doubts, all your fears. You just put them on Him. And the writer goes on and says this, for He cares for you. Father, some of us this morning have been standing up and we are so tired spiritually standing. Some of us do not understand why this is going on. Lord, like the dad, we've looked at the situation. It's gone on for weeks and months, some years, maybe even decades, and we're tired. Father, thank you for the example of this dad who wouldn't give up. Thank you for the examples of moms and dads and grandparents and students in this sanctuary who say, I will not give up. We ask you in Jesus' name that in these next few minutes that you will flush out our PVC pipe. We ask you, Father, that you restore relationship. We ask you, Father, that you will help us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus and for your glory. With your heads bowed this morning, I want to ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Is Jesus Lord of your life? You say, Pastor, when I walked in this place, He was not Lord, but I want to make Him Lord. I want to surrender. I want to give Him my all. I want to lead us in a prayer. It's a simple prayer where we confess our sins, ask His forgiveness, and surrender ourselves to Jesus. It's not about church membership. It's about relationship. As I pray this prayer, I invite you to join us and pray this prayer aloud. We're going to make things right with God this morning. You just say, Pastor, I want that relationship. Then as this congregation prays aloud, you join us and pray with us. Let's pray. Father God, I open myself to you. I confess my sins. I ask your forgiveness. I thank you for forgiving me. And I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And with heads bowed, respecting the privacy of others, you say, Pastor, my relationship was not right with Jesus, but I ask his forgiveness. I surrender to him, and now he's Lord of my life. With heads bowed, would you simply do two things? Number one, would you raise your head up and just make eye contact with me? Number two, would you slip your hand up and just say, this morning I made a decision to follow Jesus. Thank you. God bless you, lady. Thank you. God bless you, lady. Who else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Who else? Thank you. God bless you. This is beautiful. Who else? This morning, Pastor, I want you to know I made a decision to follow Jesus. It's a private decision. It's a personal. It's your decision. It's no one else's. You say, this morning, I want to confess that I made a decision to follow Jesus. Anyone else before I move on? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you both. God bless you. Father, I ask you that as they have begun this journey, they will know how much you love them. They will surround themselves with some friends and some people that will help them to grow. Help them to study your word and apply it to their life. Help them to get in a Bible class. Help them, Father, to ask for your help. I pray these things in Jesus' name and thank you. Amen.